with all that's within me and with all that I have. May the Lord use me to his glory, that he may take every ounce of energy and every ounce of strength and focus it on the preaching and teaching of his word, that someone might say, what must I do to be saved? And thereby glorifying my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray and ask it all. Amen. Turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Kings, please. Turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Kings. I'll be reading out of the King James Bible. And again, we're still visiting with the life and times of Elijah the prophet. The life and times of Elijah the prophet. We're in the fourth part of a five-part series. And we've learned a lot of things about Elijah. We've learned that as a man of God, you can stand and you can have a showdown with all the enemies of God. You can stand up publicly for God, and God will testify on your behalf. You can pray and you can talk with the Lord, and you can always keep in mind, whenever we get to thinking that the only reason that these people in the Old Testament could do these things is because they were super, super special and they were super, super saints. But the Bible tells us that Elijah was a man just like us. He had his ups, he had his downs. We saw where he did a mighty work at Mount Carmel on an absolute high, and then shortly thereafter, Jezebel put him on the run. But now God's got him back on track today. Today at 2 Kings chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. 2 Kings chapter 1, verses 1 through 17, we see where God has got Elijah back on track and doing the things that the prophet does best, confronting sin and glorifying God. Today we'll be doing verses 1 through 17, but we'll just start off by reading verses 1 through 4. And I want you to keep your Bibles open and follow along, please, because we will be going through verses 1 through 17. And it reads, "Then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, Go, inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, Arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say unto them, Is it not because there is not a God in Israel that ye go to inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Ekron? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, Thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And Elijah departed." May the Lord add a blessing to the readers and doers of his word. Amen. Today, we'll be talking about, as a title, we will use, Hear Ye What Thus Saith the Lord. Hear ye what thus saith the Lord. As we wind down with Elijah, and we've gone through the life and the times, and we're coming close to the end of Elijah's sojourn here on the earth, he's still dealing with one of the primary issues that we deal with today. That's what we find him here dealing with today with the king Ahaziah. It's the persistent problem of pluralism. Pluralism is something that's always creeping in the church. Sometimes it'll be really strong and sometimes it'll kind of die out. But pluralism and its kissing cousin, ecumenism. These are teachings that always come in the church, and they're not from the church, because this is not God's way. They come into the church as a way to destroy the church. Pluralism. Pluralism is a theory that there is more than one basic principle are more than one truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the life, and the truth. And no man comes to the Father but by me. But the world says, there are many paths. There are many paths to God. Just be nice. Just wash cars. Do good things. Do random good things for people. And they'll love you. And that will get them to heaven because they like you. Pluralism. Ecumenism. Why don't we all get together, all the different religions and all the different denominations, since we all worship the same God? No, we don't all worship the same God. And no, we don't all get together to try to do the better good for mankind, because the best good for mankind is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if they're not preaching Jesus Christ, you don't partner with them. But the world insists that if you want to be able to reach people, you've got to compromise. You've got to become more ecumenical. You've got to ease up on your message because, you know, you don't want people all mad at you and everything. Don't you want to be liked? I want to be liked. Everybody wants to be liked. But at what cost do you want to be liked? At the cost of that Jesus has, the blood of Christ has to be trampled on because you want to be liked? Because you don't want to offend anybody? Does not the Bible tell us that the word of God is an offense to those who are perishing? How are you going to give somebody the gospel without offending them? The very gospel itself makes them gnash their teeth. In fact, the very gospel itself will make them want to put somebody on a cross. What did Jesus do other than give them the gospel? What did Jesus do other than tell him, are you any nicer than Jesus? Am I any nicer than Jesus? Why didn't they like him enough to make him the preacher of the year? Instead, they rewarded him with an old rugged cross because he said, I am the only way. He said, I don't compromise. He said, I represent my Father all the time, everywhere. Here Elijah is dealing with this prophet. Elijah's been dealing with this issue on and on and on. This is what ended up at the Mount Carmel with all the prophets of Baal, which were, they called them prophets of Baal, but they worshiped a false god. And Elijah ended up killing them, slew 450 of them. And even with that, we see where Ahaziah, who is Ahab's son, King Ahab has died now. Moab has rebelled against Israel. And now King Ahaziah has taken over for Ahab. Ahab was promoted idolatry in the country with his wife Jezebel. And now his son is following in his daddy's footsteps. Fathers, just for a minute, fathers and fathers-to-be. What's your son watching? What's your son? What does your son see? Where's that godly side of you that your son's going to see? I'm even talking to y'all. Young, because one day you're going to be somebody's daddy. Someday you're going to be somebody's husband, somebody's father. And I want you to start thinking now, what am I going to be? Because Ahab was a wicked man. And his son walked in the same path that he did. Husbands, fathers, what are you getting ready to put off on some unsuspecting young woman when she says, I do, to your son or to my son? What are we putting off on them? I think we need to examine ourselves, fathers and fathers-to-be, and I think we need to get busy because we show our sons what a godly man is supposed to be. And we show our daughters what kind of godly man they're supposed to look for. So we impact both critically, gentlemen. God said, you're the head. He gave us that privilege to be the head. It's an honor to be the head. And he says, love your wife like Christ loved the church. And give yourself for her. back to Ahaziah. Ahaziah, he's got the Moab. The Moabites are in rebellion. Israel is under attack. His daddy is dead. And to top it all off, he done fell through the roof. Fell through the lattice work and got himself busted up. The King James Bible says he was sick. A better translation or an alternate translation for that. He got hurt. He got injured when he fell through the lattice work. And then he did something. Again, this ecumenism, this pluralism, this has been going on for a long time. A long time. Pluralism leads to ecumenism, which leads to apostasy, a falling away. Ahaziah is severely injured. And what does he do when he's severely injured? He says, go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. Verse 1 and 2. Then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And verse 2, Ahaziah fell down through the lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, go, inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. Hear ye what thus saith the Lord. I want 1 Kings, where in the scripture, I lost my scripture, but I'll just tell you what it says. Where Elijah says to the people on Mount Carmel, he says, if God is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. We want to try to do both. Ahaziah was part of the covenant people of Israel. He knew who God, not only did he know who God was, he had been around, no doubt, during the demonstration of what took place on Mount Carmel. But even with that, even after he saw fire called down from heaven to prove that God was God, when he saw 450 prophets of Baal slaughtered, even after all that, when he gets hurt, who does he call on? He calls on Beelzebub. Beelzebub was the god of the folks who just got defeated. Beelzebub, the Hebrews had a word, it was not a real nice translation, but the Hebrews referred to him as Lord of the Flies or Lord of the Dung. If you grew up on a farm or anything, you understand what dung is, and if you got dung, you know what flies are doing around dung. That's what they thought of the god Beelzebub. And then to boot, not only does he call on Beelzebub, but he calls on the god of Ekron. Now, this is not to be confused with the god of Akron. That's my hometown. Akron, Ohio is where I'm from. This is Ekron. He calls on the god of Ekron, and this always boggles my mind. When you go back, this is the scripture where 1 Samuel 5:10,